You are listening to the IFH Podcast Network. For more amazing filmmaking and screenwriting podcasts, just go to ifhpodcastnetwork.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Rise of the Filmtrepreneur, How to Turn Your Independent Film into a Money-Making Business by Alex Ferrari. For a free copy of the audiobook, head over to www.filmbizbook.com.
Welcome to the Director Series Podcast, a show dedicated to deconstructing the work of some of cinema's most celebrated and influential film directors. I'm your host, Cameron Bile.
With her fourth feature effort, 2010's Somewhere, it becomes readily apparent that Coppola regards Los Angeles' notorious Chateau Marmont Hotel as her own kind of home, a place in which she spent a great deal of her youth because of her father's work. Within these hallowed halls, Coppola feels a special kinship with the actors, rock stars, and fashionistas that have lived, laughed, and loved there. Over the years, Coppola has forged her own personal relationship to the hotel and its staff, to the extent that they would host one of her birthday parties and, like her all-access pass to Versailles Palace during Marie Antoinette, allow her carte blanche use of the site for the shooting of Somewhere.
You're really good.
Thanks.
When'd you learn how to ice skate?
I've been going for 3 years.
Really? Is that the same SUV?
There's kind of a lot of those in LA.
Yeah, but I think that's the same one I've seen there.
After the extravagant period production of Marie Antoinette, Coppola was compelled to return to a simpler form of storytelling, a form that resembled Lost in Translation insofar as its favoring of mood over plot. Indeed, Somewhere plays like a close companion piece to that earlier film, dealing in the same shades of alienation and uncertainty, while effectively sealing off her protagonists from the outside world within the walls of a visually distinctive hotel. Coppola's script drew copious inspiration from various aspects of her personal life, such as her own history with the chateau, as well as the birth of her second child, in addition to a variety of other sources, from the films of Chantal Ackerman to Bruce Weber's Hollywood portraits, and even Helmut Newton's famous photos of models taken at the hotel. Financed by Focus Features and produced by Coppola, her brother Roman, G. Mac Brown, and her family studio American Zoetrope, Somewhere is especially unique within Coppola's filmography, in that it is the first to exclusively follow a singular male protagonist. In a role written specifically for him, underrated character actor Stephen Dorff plays Johnny Marco, a shabby chic, burnt-out movie star who's lost sight of himself amidst the glitz and glamour of Hollywood. He's marooned within the chateau, bogged down in the boring, everyday business of a successful acting career, being shuttled around to demoralizing promo shoots and press conferences, attending vapid award shows in glamorous locales like Italy and Las Vegas, and navigating the endless snaking boulevards of Beverly Hills in his exotic, albeit unreliable, sports car. The only thing that seems to bring a sense of life into his eyes is the sight of his daughter Cleo, played by Elle Fanning as an ephemeral and precocious little sprite who flits in and out of his life with little warning. Somewhere's key narrative turns hinge on this delicate relationship between a single father and his daughter, observing how their limited time together helps the other mature into a more self-realized person. This being a portrait of Hollywood, Coppola also peppers the film with several winking cameos by other famous faces, like Ellie Kemper as Johnny's eager publicist, Michelle Monaghan as his acid-tongued co-star, Jackass crew member Chris Pontius as his one-man entourage, and even Benicio del Toro as an incognito version of himself. Somewhere cinematography befits its simple narrative approach, adopting an observational, rough-edged aesthetic that makes inspired use of old lenses Coppola's father used on his 1983 film Rumblefish. Lenses that imbue the 1.85:1 35mm film frame with a timeless, vintage aura comprised of creamy neutrals and rosy highlights. One of the last films lensed by the late cinematographer Harris Avitis, Somewhere revels in the long take, mixing and matching between the formalism of locked-off slow zooms and the immediacy of handheld shots. Savitas was a master of harnessing soft, natural light, and Somewhere stands as a testament to his abilities in that regard, while complementing Coppola's own established aesthetic. The film's lengthy opening shot, a static composition of Marco's sports car speeding around a closed loop, establishes the elliptical nature of Coppola's storyline, reinforced by returning editor Sarah Flack's patient pacing and oblique assembly of key dramatic moments. As in her previous films, Coppola uses music to striking effect, creating a soundscape where outdated top 40s hits from the aughts are primarily heard as a reflection of a stale Hollywood lifestyle. I can see you in my bed. Coppola deviates from this diegetic approach only once, laying Julian Casablancas' mellow track, I'll Try Anything Once, over a sequence of Marco and his daughter enjoying a fleeting moment of happiness and connection in the hotel pool. The effect is a subtle yet transcendent moment for the audience as well as the characters. Coppola unifies these disparate musical elements with an ethereal electronic score by French pop band Phoenix, of which her husband Thomas Mars is the frontman, continuing the long Coppola tradition of artistic collaboration with other family members, as well as her own tendency to hire recording artists for score instead of conventional film composers. On the surface, Somewhere possesses all the expected hallmarks of Coppola's thematic signature: autobiography, the fashion world, celebrity lifestyles, and the feminine mystique. But in rooting the perspective within the male figure of Johnny Marco, she finds fresh angles that benefit her artistic growth. Somewhere predicates its main narrative thrust on the paper-thin conflict between Marco and his self-doubt, or the tension between himself and the expectations of others from both his professional and personal life. However, where Coppola's film really resonates is in the complex roles that women play in his life. As a rich and successful movie star living in a glamorous Hollywood hotel, Marco is surrounded by beautiful short-term companions who require very little in the way of persuasion before hopping into his bed. As a father to a young girl, however, he has to reconcile the carnal aspects of manhood with the responsibilities of raising someone who will one day be a woman too. Marco's interactions with his daughter are geared towards preserving the innocence of childhood amidst the wanton hedonism of his lifestyle. But in trying to protect her purity, he also denies her a fundamental aspect of her emerging humanity.
Hi, Johnny.
Hey. What? I don't know where that went.
The major breakthrough in the relationship comes when he directly acknowledges the complicated nature of adult life. An act that requires him to view Cleo as not just his young daughter, but as an intellectual equal and a mini-adult in her own right. Somewhere's secondary thematic exploration concerns the lifestyles of the rich and famous, mentioned before as a constant presence throughout Coppola's work. Like Lost in Translation before it, Somewhere follows a once successful actor on the downslope of his career, but whereas the former's exotic Tokyo setting hinted at a vibrant, sprawling world just waiting to be discovered, the latter's depiction of sunny LA feels confining, twisted into a kind of sun-washed limbo that only resembles paradise, purgatory with a pool. As suggested in the aforementioned opening shot, Marco's life is something of a closed loop. He wakes up every morning late for some photo shoot or promo event he forgot about, spends the afternoon driving around aimlessly, and then drinks himself stupid to the lullaby of two blondes pole dancing in his hotel room. Also, he can wake up the next day and do it all over again. Even when he's high up in the air, surveying the city below in one of Coppola's signature backseat reverie shots, he's still confined within a cramped helicopter cabin. Over the course of its running time, Somewhere slowly shows how Marco's connection to his daughter allows him to break out of his personal purgatory, evidenced via the closing shot that shows Marco abandoning his sports car, and thus the closed loop, altogether, setting out on foot towards an uncertain but invigorating future. After the gilded extravagance of Marie Antoinette, Somewhere marks a return to the minimalistic form that propelled Lost in Translation's success, but it would not share his predecessor's warm reception. Many critics responded with a tempered positivity, but those with a negative reaction argued rather vociferously about its perceived failings. Anyone already predisposed to blasting Coppola for her artistic indulgences was given more fuel for the fire, able to point to Somewhere as her most irrelevant and empty exercise to date. Even its biggest critical win, the Venice Film Festival's prestigious Golden Lion Award for Best Picture, came under heavy criticism due to the fact that Quentin Tarantino, who was once romantically linked to Coppola, had championed the film in his capacity as the jury chairman. This episode is a particularly unfortunate one in the annals of film criticism, in that it reinforces the deeply entrenched marginalization of female directors by suggesting that her win only happened because of her relationship to a man, and not because of her own artistic abilities. That being said, Somewhere isn't a particularly easy film to love. It refuses to traffic in digestible conflict, nor plays into mainstream expectations. Scant as its story may be, the film is nonetheless a sublime love letter to a unique, historic refuge within LA's sprawling megalopolis, crafted with sensitivity and subtlety by a confident, artistic voice without compromise. Of all the films in Coppola's career, Somewhere arguably provides the most profound and intimate insights yet into her own unique character, allowing us to look past the glitz and glamour to find the complicated, brooding soul deep inside. Thank you for listening to the Director Series. For a deeper dive into your favorite filmmakers, go to www.directorseries.net. The Director Series is made possible in large part by our generous supporters on Patreon. Please visit us at patreon.com/directorseries to see how your contribution enables the continued production of video essays and text articles on your favorite contemporary and classic film directors. Thank you.